Let's get moving. Okay, so this is hopefully the last chabura on the topic of bedika. Hopefully, I already made the makoros for our next topic, which is the topic of bittul chametz, which we'll get to starting tomorrow night. Again, as schedule normally works out, is that tomorrow night will be just a night of, you know, doing the makoros, and then we'll have our opening chabura on bittul Thursday night. So that's the plan. So let's just hopefully, you know, be constructive here and be efficient and hopefully finish up the topic of bedika right now. So we're basically spelling out was that according to the Rishonim, Rashi, Rabbeinu David, the Ran, who hold that bedika alone, mita araisa, is able to neutralize bayar b'mase. So we pointed out that those shitos in the Rishonim must contend with two, you know, time periods. The time period of mikan olava, right, the time after the chametz is found, and the time period before the chametz is found, what we've been calling l'mafreya. I should just note, it seems like my usage of the term l'mafreya has confused a couple of people, and rightfully so, it's probably not the best lashon. Really, because l'mafreya sometimes has a connotation of, like, literally means retroactive, but it sounds like I was saying it's only when you find it, then retroactively you violate. I don't mean that. I just meant like ne'ikara, just, you know, the time period before you find it, not that in order to trigger the violation you have to find it. That's not what I mean. So again, when I've been saying the term l'mafreya, I really mean it in a ne'ikara sense, the time beforehand, not that it's like a retroactive violation. I just want to clarify that. Okay, so we've been discussing, right? We pointed out so these mefarshim who hold that bedika is able to neutralize bayar b'matzeh must hold that there's no issue of bayar b'matzeh in that earlier time period called the mafreya or me'ikara. And right, for tonight, I would like to now analyze that and really discuss why is it, and we basically saw that Tosos, the Chidushei Ran, Rabbeinu David, all explicate, they're all medayik in the Gemara involved in these, that bayar b'matzeh is not violated me'ikara l'mafreya. And but like, so again, they just were medayik down in the Gemara. And but I'd like to now analyze that and discuss, so why is that the case? Right? Why, according to these Rishonim, is bayar b'matzeh not violated l'mafreya or me'ikara, right, for the time period before you find the chametz? Why do you not violate in the case of bedika? So we're going to see, and this is why we started with our Hakdamah Shirim, that this is very much the analysis of why there is no violation me'ikara is going to depend very much on whether you're adopting this subjective approach, as we discussed in the first, you know, couple Shirim, or the objective approach. Namely, if you accept the subjective approach to bayar b'matzeh, right, that you don't violate bayar b'matzeh until you find it or you see it, so then there's a very simple explanation for why you don't violate l'mafreya. Right? Because if you think that bayar b'matzeh is only violated mikan olava after you know about it or after you see it, so then of course you don't violate l'mafreya in the case of bedika, because you never violate bayar b'matzeh l'mafreya. That's right. So again, one way for accounting for the lack of bayar b'matzeh l'mafreya or me'ikara is simply for the Rishonim who adopt the subjective approach, they can simply account for the lack of bayar b'matzeh l'mafreya because they simply hold that just as a matter of bayar b'matzeh is not violated until you have a yediyah or a re'iyah. So the Rishonim who that helps explain for, or number one is Rashi. Again, remember Rashi in Daf Beis is one of the Rishonim who says that bedika neutralizes bayar b'matzeh, and based on our analysis, an assumption of that is that there is no violation of l'mafreya, and it works out very nicely. Rashi l'shitasa, because what does Rashi hold from the first sigya? What's his approach to bayar b'matzeh? Right, they only violate bayar b'matzeh when you see it. So Rashi is it's very easy to explain for Rashi, Beis Amin Aleph, why bedika is able to neutralize bayar b'matzeh, why you don't have to worry about the time period or the possibility that you're not going to find the chametz or the time period before you find the chametz. Because for Rashi, the shitaso, he holds that you don't violate bayar b'matzeh until you see it, until you have a re'iyah. And therefore Rashi is easily able to explain the lack of bayar b'matzeh me'ikara / l'mafreya is simply because Rashi l'shitaso adopts the re'iyah approach to bayar b'matzeh. That's how Rashi is going to explain it. The other, you know, Rishon, who, you know, is going to explain the lack of bayar b'matzeh me'ikara based on the subjective approach is who? Who said it? Tosos. Right? Tosos and Chafal from an Aleph, who is Medayik from Vav and Beis, that they only have bayar b'matzeh mikan olava, That Tosos on Chaf Aleph is the same Tosos who says that you only violate Bayer Bay Matze when you have Yediyah. So again, very much L'shita. So I mean, I'm not putting that Tosos together. Tosos puts those two things together, right? We're putting the Rashi's together. But for Tosos, Tosos says it himself. The reason why you don't violate L'mafreya, Me'ikara, is because Tosos thinks that there's a Tanai in Bayer Bay Matze of Yediyah. Right, again, he adopts this objective approach that you're only going to violate Bayer Bay Matze when the person knows about it. So for Rashi and Tosos, it's very easy to account for the lack of Bayer Bay Matze Me'ikara L'mafreya, simply because they adopt their respective versions of the subjective approach to say that Bayer Bay Matze is not violated L'mafreya. But where it gets a little trickier is for all the other Rishonim who adopt the objective approach. And for all the other Rishonim who generally say, that Bayer Bay Matze is objective, which dictates that really Bayer Bay Matze should be violated as long as there is chametz in your Rishus. So the question is, why do those Rishonim think that in the case that you perform Bedika, that somehow Bedika changes the equation? Right? That generally, the following, as we'll discuss, the following group of Rishonim think that Bayer Bay Matze is violated L'mafreya, is violated even when you don't know about it, even when you don't see it. But they're going to say that for some reason, in the context of a Bedika, the Bedika is somehow going to say that we don't have to be Choshesh for Bayer Bay Matze L'mafreya. So that's the question they're going to have to analyze for the rest of this year. Yeah.
Are there any Rishonim who hold by the objective approach and say that you're not over Meikara?
Yeah, so we're going to be medayik that in Rishonim right now. We're going to prove that a number of Rishonim, when they give alternative answers to why you don't violate L'mafreya, and they specifically invoke Bedika, we're going to see the implication is, if not for the Bedika, you would violate L'mafreya, and it's only because of the Bedika, in the case at hand, that you don't violate L'mafreya. So we're going to see that right now. So again, the question now that we're going to be analyzing is basically within the objective approach. So why, in the case of Bedika, right, why would Bedika prevent the violation of Bayer Bay Matze, / why would Bedika cause us to not be choshesh for the violation of Bayer Bay Matze, the Mafraya? So that's the question. It's going to see now two different mahalchim to answer that question. Again, two different mahalchim to answer the question of why we aren't choshesh for Bayer Bay Matze L'mafreya in the case where you perform Bedika, if generally you adopt the objective approach and think that Bayer Bay Matze is violated as long as it is in your rishus. So the first mahalach, adopted, we'll see, by the Michtam and Ruki Veger, is that there's a patur ones. Meaning, and we'll see from the Lashonis, they basically hold that in a Hanami, there is a violation of Bayer Bay Matze L'mafreya in this case. Really, technically, there was you violated Bayer Bay Matze as long as the chametz was in your rishus. But because you did Bedika and you did what you could, so Onis Rechamana Patre. And their version of Onis Rechamana Patre is that you violated Bayer Bay Matze, but there's a patur. We're not going to fault you for it. So again, according to this approach, and pay careful attention to this formulation, according to this first approach, there is a violation L'mafreya, but there's a patur ones, which says that therefore you don't have to worry about it. Again, there is a violation, but there's a patur ones to say that we don't really care about it and therefore aren't choshesh for it. So this comes out from two mefarshim. Number one is the Michtam, again, one of the Rishonim in the Chachmei Provence, which is, Provence is where the Me'iri and the Maram Chalaba were. So again, that same area. So the Michtam says, not on many Mesechtas, but he is on Sachem. He has some very interesting Shitos throughout. So again, if anyone has the Michtam on Vav Mabez, Dir Matzchol Mai Taima, at the end of the paragraph, someone, Yaakov, do you have it? I think we were reading it together in Seder. So again, the Michtam and Vav Mabez, So you see, starting with the end, says below Matzis Lamemer. Again, because the context of the piece, the Michtam is basically asking, what is the Gemara asking? Why? He's basically challenging the Gemara's question of why do you need? Explain the Gemara's question. Right? He's trying to explain the Gemara's question of why do you need Bittul after you perform Bedika? And he basically goes on to say, Bedikah is like the best thing ever, right? He says, Bedikah neutralizes Bayar Bayamatzeh, and Bedikah also gets around the Chashash Achila. So it's like the best thing since like sliced bread, right? So since Bedikah is like the best thing ever, so then like, what's the point of Bittel? So in explaining why Bedikah is like the best thing ever, he goes on to explain, why don't you have to be Choshesh that Bedikah missed a piece of bread and that you're going to violate L'mafraya? So says the Mechtam, starting with the line, V'lo matzis the Meimar. Right, so implicit question, right? You don't have to worry. Right? So, very simple. He says, you don't have to worry about that. Again, doesn't say that you didn't violate. He says, you don't have to worry about that violation. Because what? It's an onis and a rachmana patre. Right? The Torah patered you. Onis rachmana patre. So again, the Mechtam seems to say that it's, again, this is the diuk, but it seems to say, and we'll see the contrast to other formulation of other Rishonim, seems to say that in the Hanami there is a violation of Mafrei, but there's a Petur Onis. And similarly, along the lines of the Mechtam, is in the Chedush, yeah.
Don't we usually say that if you are able to get out of a situation, then you have to, like your Rambam says, that if you're forced to do an Aveira, then you have a way to get out of it, then if you don't get out of it, then it's your fault. So same thing here. If you have a way to be, to not find chametz and be over the mafreya by doing bittul, wouldn't that make your onus not an onus anymore?
That's a good question. I guess all these rishonim are saying that, you know, your attempt not to violate the isser is by doing a good bedikah. So that's the way. Sorry, what? That's saying post the institution of Bittul.
Exactly, yeah.
If you didn't do Bittul.
Like
we were talking about before.
Yeah, it's not such a
zach. Well, that's sort of what we're saying. I mean, before the institution, right, the point is if you perform a proper bedikah, so that's all the ishtadlus you need to get out of Bayar Bayamatzeh. And we'll see, because there are chazakas that if you do a good bedikah, that it's going to work. So along the lines of the Mechtam, again, saying that it just seems like they're saying that in a Hanami there's a violation, but this is just a Petur Onis, is Rekiv Eger. I'll just read it quickly. Right now, Rekiv Eger basically poses the same type of question. It says, V'kashe, right, Eich Yitukan Masha Avar Kodim Hamotzo V'lo Bitzla. Right, how do you fix, again, this is the same problem that we've all been dealing with the entire time. How do you solve the problem, L'mafre? How do you solve the problem that perhaps there's a piece of chametz in your rishus that the bedikah didn't cover? And the answer is very simple. V'tiritz, dala avar have ones. Don't worry about the past because it was an ones. Again, if the Mechtam and Rekiv Eger really held that Bayar Bayamatzeh is like the subjective approach, it's only violated mikana laba, so then they have a much simpler answer. They should have just said, no, there's no violation of Bayar Bayamatzeh l'mafraya. The fact that they go along and say, oh, in a Hanami, there's a violation, but there's a Petur Onis, the implication is exactly that. In a Hanami, that really, Bayar Bayamatzeh objectively is an objective Isser, and in a Hanami, it is violated L'mafraya, but there's a Petur Onis. So again, so it's very different than Rashi and Tosas, who are going to say, just there's no violation L'mafraya, to the Mechtam and Kueger, who are saying, there is a violation L'mafraya, but there's a Petur Onis. So again, that's the first mahalach, you know, in terms of the to account for the objective approach to why do we not worry about the l'mafreya violation? The answer is in achnami is l'mafreya violation, but ones rachmana patre there's a patur. Yeah.
Why is there a mahalach between pre and post tachas chachamim in terms of pitul being the same 5 seconds either way?
No. He's saying because once this is what Binyamin is referencing, which Rekiv Eger is saying. That his analysis is all pre-takana.
Right.
But once the Rabbanan, because the Shema Yimsek Luska Yava said that every good Jew should perform a bittul, so then if you don't do that bittul, so then you can't consider yourself an onis.
Right, so why should I do it either way?
What do you mean either way?
Going back to the original question. If there's the parathal design, it's the same 5 seconds either way.
Same 5 seconds of war.
I was just thinking, I'm about to tell my chametz kafadara.
Oh, but again, but on a deraisa level, the Torah said I mean, before the Rabbanon came along and came up with the, you know, the chashash, you know, Shem Yim Sikluz Kayaf V'dayt Yilavei, so we basically said on a Doraisa level, if you did your Bedika, you're good to go. And you basically said, as long as you did your Bedika and you did a Bedika as well as you could, so then we're going to assume you found all your Chametz, and therefore if something comes up, that's beyond your control. But once a Chachamim said, no, every good Jew needs to do a Bittul, and if you don't listen to the Chachamim, then you can't call yourself an Ones, because the Chachamim told you to do something else to obviate this issue, and you didn't. So that's not in the Gedder Ones. So in short, Midaraisa, they're not Choshesh for any issues with the Bedika. And if you do Bedika, and there ends up being a problem that's, you know, beyond your control, that's Ones. But once the Chachamim say, you know, every good Jew should do a Bittul, and if you don't listen to the Chachamim, saying you can't, you know, claim onus if something goes wrong. That's Rabbi Yeager. Oh. Yeah.
According to the Mechtam, isn't Bior a drama?
One more time?
Isn't, according to the Mechtam, isn't Bior a drama?
No, he's saying Bitika. He says Bitika and Bior works in the Raisa.
Didn't he the Bittul who went on Torah? Now he's sure our promise of Bior.
No. That's what he's saying. He's saying, when he's asking, right, I'm telling Yaakov about this, right, that's a weird line. I mean, he's just saying, when he's asking the question of why do you need to do Bittul, like Bedika is the best thing ever, right, he's saying, I know that Bittul is also good. I know that Bittul works me Daraisa, but still, I solve that Daraisa of Bayer Bayamatze with the Bedika also. So once I do my Bedika, why do you also need to do Bittul? So that's what he means by, you know, Nihi that Bittul works me Daraisa. I know that Bittul also works me Daraisa, but he's still saying, Bedika also works me Daraisa, and that solved everything. So once you do your Bedika first, why do you need to do anything afterwards? I think that's the Shach Vitaria. Yeah.
But can't you, I mean, if we're assuming that Tashbushu and Bayu are independent, then your only goal is just to make sure he's like, you're not over Bayu, then even if Bedika was a rabbinic announcement, couldn't it still be considered sufficiently established according to this approach to, so it would be considered an onus?
Well, that's sort of more, what the Mechtam is saying.
Yeah, but you're saying it's Daraisa.
Well, he's saying Daraisa obviates any issues of Bayer Bayamatze.
No, but I'm saying,
taking into account the Pteronis.
But I'm saying that it doesn't have to be a Daraisa institution in order for it to be an Onis.
No, but I don't know about institution. Meaning, mi Daraisa, does it have an effect? Does it neutralize Bayer Bayamatze? Answer is yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it means. Okay, good. Okay, right? So first mahalach is that, right, within the objective approach, in Echanami, there is a violation of the Mafreya, but there is a Peter Onis. Ah. So this brings us to the second mahalach, which is going to really spend the rest of the Shira, which basically says that even if generally you adopt the objective approach, and generally Ba'ayur Abayimatze is going to be violated L'mafreya Me'ikara, in the case where you do Bedika, Bedika itself is going to neutralize Bayer Abayimatze and ensure that you're not going to violate Bayer Abayimatze L'mafreya. Again, a heavy statement. Even if generally Bayer Abayimatze would be violated L'mafreya, meaning if you didn't do Bedika, in a case where you found Chametz on Pesach, in that case, you would violate Bayer Abayimatze for all the time that Chametz was in your Rishus, even for the time period before you found it. But once you do Bedika, Bedika is going to ensure that you don't violate Bayer Abayimatze Me'ikara L'mafreya. And we're going to see this Lashon in a number of Rishonim, where they all basically say, don't worry about the L'mafreya violation of Bayer Abayimatze, because once you do a proper Bedika, that neutralizes the violation of Bayer Abayimatze L'mafreya. And the obvious question we're going to have to contend with is, why in the world does it do that? What's the connection between the performance of a proper Bedika and neutralizing Bayer Abayimatze L'mafreya? Right? If you adopt the objective approach, which says the Bayer Abayimatze is violated any time it's in your Rishus, so why should the performance of Bedika change anything? But again, we're going to see this right now, that according to a number of Rishonim, we'll see in the Ran, for sure, possibly within the Rabbeinu Dabin, and possibly within Maram Chalava, all saying this idea that even within the objective approach, B'mokum Bedika, Bedika is going to ensure that you don't violate Bayer Abayimatze L'mafreya. So before I take any questions, if everyone just, you know, while we're taking the questions, turn to the Ran, and again, that same daf, on daf Aleph, Amid Aleph, daf Yarif, Dibra Maschol Elakahu. We're actually going to pick up right after we left earlier, right, yesterday, or two nights ago, right, was right after the Ran talks about the lack of, you know, problem Mikano Laba because of the option of beer. He then transitions to say, okay, so what about Lemafraya? Starting with the words Shema Tomar in the old Tefus, it's Shema, again, within Dibra Maschol Elakahu. Shema is the last word in line. If anyone can find it for the Oz Bahadur people, and you can scream it out, that would be great. Again, the Shema Tomar Lemafraya, that's what we're going to be reading from. While everyone finds it, anyone have I thought I saw some hands. Any hands? So again, third line of the paragraph starting with Mashma?
Umashma.
Okay, any questions before we... No hands? Zeef, was that a hand before? We're good? Okay, so the Ran, again, Lishitaso, because the Ran is one of the Mefarshim, the Rai who says that B'diko works midaraisa. So again, based on the analysis of our sugya, the Ran now has to contend with not only Mikano Laba, which he dealt with by saying that Biur was an option, he now has to contend with, okay, what about Lemafreya? Why don't we have to worry about the possibility that those Chames always in Yerushas? Shmuel, do you find it?
Yeah.
See Shema Tomar?
Shema Tomar, Lemafreya Avar Aleha, Lisa.
So, well, what's the Kasha? Maybe you're going to say...
Even if you're not
over the Lemafreya, again, the reason why I was using the term Lemafreya is because it's found in the Rishonim, like the Ran. Again, but I do understand why some people are confused by that. He's basically asking, but what about Lemafreya? What about the time period before Meikara? Why aren't we worried about violating? Answer is what?
Lisa.
Right, he says there's not an issue. Stop there. Right? What the Ran could have said, actually interesting in light of the Chiddush HaRan, just realizing this right now, what the Ran could have said is that, yeah, you don't have to worry about Lemafreya because by Rabbi Matzeh, subjectively, you only violate Mikano Laba. That's not what the Ran says. The Ran's going to say that it has to do with Bedika. Implication being, and this is getting back to Elad's point, that if not for the Bedika, you would violate Lemafreya. But because you perform Bedika, that somehow neutralizes the violation of Lemafreya. And the question is going to be why? Oh, just make myself bleed. But, yeah, continue.
Shari Samcha Torah al Chazakos. Chol Shabbatak Osan Mikomos Sheragil Imatzi Vahem Chomet. Yotze Yichobaso.
Oh, yeah, so some big lines there. So what does he say there?
So he said that there's no issue of violating even the Lemafreya because the Torah basically was so mech.
Yeah, what's chazaka is?
The chazaka that you basically found it.
Exactly, right? The chazaka is that if you did a good bedika, so then we assume chazaka dictates that you're going to find the chametz. And now he says, v'chol shebadak osan mikoma sheragol limatze behen chametz. And therefore, if you did a proper bedika in all the places where, you know, you have to do a bedika on, because, you know, ragol limatze behen chametz, yotzei dei chavoso. You're yotzei your chiv. So again, it sounds like, and we'll see another lashon soon, that the reason why you don't violate Lemafreya is because you did a proper bedika. Still missing the question is, what's the connection? Like, right? Mimanashach, if you hold that Bayer Bay Matzeh is subjective, so then you don't need bedika. But if you hold that it's objective, so then why does bedika help you? So the question is, what's the impact of bedika on preventing a Lemafreya violation of Bayer Bay Matzeh? Skip a couple lines to... So Maskinam b'Gemara, when he references Vav and Beis?
Yeah. Maskinam b'Gemara, the hand of time, Lashem Yimso Guska, Yefefiya, Bedaise Yilave. Pierish Rashi Zal, the Shema Mitoche, Daise Yilave, Yishahe Osa Milavara, Veninsa Overalea, Lomar, Mishas Mitsiyasa, Vaila.
Right, so he's making that same diuk. Right, the whole issue of Shema Yimso Guska Yafe, that Rashi explains that you're going to delay. That's all a focus on what? Mikano Laba. Again, but why not Lemafreya, says the Ran? But you don't have to worry about a violation of Lemafreya. Why? Because what?
Because
you did your Bedika. So again, it's very clear from the Ran that he's adopting this approach and saying, very esotistic, right? Especially when you hear the explanation. Right? That the reason why you don't violate Lemafreya is because of the Bedika. Very important. And the question we have to get back to is why? How does Bedika prevent a violation Lemafreya?
Did he say because of Chazaka?
But the Chazaka says, oh, we can assume You got everything, but Lamaisa, you didn't.
So you had a chazaka till now, and then it's over.
No, but at the end of the day, a chazaka is always about, you know, like a projection. When we don't know, like klali hachra in general, a rov, a chazaka, right? Are all about, if you don't know something, we can rely on a chazaka and a rov to tell you what could be. But when you have the metzias in front of you, so, right, at the time you did bedika, you can assume you did a good job. Great. You're living, you know, ignorance is bliss, right? You think you got everything. But then come the second day of Pesach, you found the gluska yafe. So what is the chazaka? How's the chazaka going to tell? But lamaisa, there was a piece of chametz in your rishus that you missed. And we'll see the way the Avdin Ezer asked the question is like, it's like the case, I believe he references, like where Edom say that the husband dies. And then the husband comes back. So, obviously, you know, you still have, there's still repercussions. It's ones, it's shogig. But at the end of the day, there's a metzias. So here the metzias is that there is a piece of chametz in your rishus. So why is the fact that, at the time we assumed your bedikah was, who cares at the time we assumed your bedikah was good? At the end of the day, it wasn't good, objectively. So we're going to have to come back to that. But before, I just want to prove that the Ran is seemingly not the only Rishon who says this idea that Bedika neutralizes by Rabbi Matze. Before I take your question, whoever has Rabino David, again, we've read this Rabino David a number of times for different points. This is Rabino David on Beis Amud Aleph. Again, Amud Gimel in the Machon Yerushalayim editions. Yes, Yehudov.
Well, I'm just saying it seems that the Ran says pretty clearly why you're... why Bidika would be effective. I mean, he explains that there seems to be this connection between Tashbisu and Balyira, and that it's because of Chamitzadua, basically. That
whoa. You just threw around a lot of important terms, but what's clear and why?
Well, if you go to the... I don't know how your Tzurat Adav is laid out, but...
Same one.
Ah, is this?
Yeah, old school. Whatever, same idea.
Okay,
yeah.
Fine. Right, so,
Chametz Yadu is a bit delayed here, no?
Omer, it's like, towards the...
Yeah, it's right after we start.
Right.
Step here, yeah.
Share Omer Sharma Tashvisu, Hainu Obi Vital of the Nikol here, but Hainu Chametz Yadu, Oli Bnei Chashash Mekomo, Shri Ragel, that stay behind. Right, and then he says,
I don't know why does that tell you, why is that explaining why the Bedika works?
Well, right, it seems to be that there is, because he says Tashbisu, that it's a Mekim of Tashbisu, right? So it seems that there's this connection between Tashbisu and Ba'ira. And he says that the reason, right, and it seems that, right, the ultimate fulfillment of doing Tashbisu is ensuring that you don't have any chametz left in what would be like a chametz shidua situation. And as long as you take care of that, you are the kind Tashbisu and therefore neutralized by your Maimon.
Okay, so we'll possibly get back to a suggestion like that. But I still don't think you completely explained why you're the king on Tashbisu for the chametz that you destroyed.
Yeah.
But what about the chametz you didn't destroy?
Well, I'm saying what would be...
In this case, you missed a piece of chametz.
But I'm saying what's the shaglus of bringing in Tashbisu as the critical factor in terms of explaining like why Bedika or Bittel
okay.
would work?
Okay, hold off. We'll get back to something like that if we have time. Yeah, all right.
Either way, it could actually be the Lafayette because it's originally out of Chazaka and now there's no more Chazaka and now the Lafayette.
Okay. But he says, but yet not, meaning the Havin. Yeah. And the reason why he uses that Havin. Okay, good. I mean, you're not answering the current question. You're answering the Lashon of Lamafre. Yeah, okay. A valid point. Okay, so Rabbeinu David is another one of the Rishonim who seems to connect the lack of violation of Bayer Matzah Lamafreya specifically to the performance of Bedika. Right? Anyone? I feel like Ephraim has been our Rabbeinu David man. Anyone else? Okay, good. You have it?
Yeah.
You see Shim Daitin Lomar? The second line there?
Shim Daitin Lomar Shein Am Yosei Midei Esir Bayer Matzah Ela Vittel meaning, because the Chacham wants to say that that a person does not come out, go out of the, he doesn't go out of being over on the Isser of Ayra Vayi Matzah
without
Bittel.
Is that right? And if you're going to say the Havamina that you can only neutralize Ayra Vayi Matzah through Bittel, but Bittel wouldn't work again because of the loophole we've been discussing this entire sugya, Ze vaday eina. Why?
Shavadika mentiyosam idei eser by Rabbi Matzah meyachas shabal kivi koko. The vadika does work to take you out of the eser by Rabbi
Matzah. Very important lashon, right? Shehabadika motzi aso midei eser by Rabbi Matzah. Right? The bedika takes away, neutralizes the iser by Rabbi Matzah. Meacher shabadak kivi koko. Provided that you performed a proper bedika, and now he adds an important line.
The Torah wasn't given to Malchai Sharis. We can find everything.
And so as long as you do a proper bedika, meaning all the Torah's mechayev you to do a proper bedika, and then as long as you do a proper bedika, the bedika is going to neutralize the Isra by Rabbi Matzah. So before getting to analyzing Rabbi David, the Maram Chalava, again, I know it was in a very long piece there, basically has a very similar lashon to Rabbi David. I'll just read this now quickly. It's basically the same idea. Right, Maram Chalava in Vav Mabez, again, that really long Dir Maschil of Amr Rabbi Yehuda, he has the following line. Basically, it's the same thing as Rabbeinu David. He says, V'im lo bitel, if you didn't perform bitel, u'matza chametz acher Pesach, and then you find the chametz after Pesach, lo avra alei b'bay Rabbi Matzeh, don't worry that you're going to violate b'bay Rabbi Matzeh l'mafreya, me'ikara. Why? Kevan shikfar bada. Again, because you did a proper bedika, and then he adds, like Rabbeinu David, the lo nitna Torah l'malachi asharis. Right? As long as you did a proper bedika, the Torah is only mechayev you to do, right, a bedika within the parameters of the chamim set forth, and only in certain places, and you try your hardest. The Torah understands that, you know, humans are a malachim, therefore you can't be perfect. But as long as you did your proper bedika, and your yotze, your chovas bedika, that's going to trigger the neutralization of b'ay Rabbi Matzeh. Oh. So again, at first glance, I would say that the Ran, Rabbeinu David, and the Maram Chalava are all saying this very mechudash, very important idea, that the reason for the lack of Bayer Rabbi Matzeh l'mafreya is because of the bedika. So again, somehow the performance of your bedika somehow is able to neutralize the violation of Bayer Rabbi Matzeh l'mafreya, even though without the bedika, all these Rishonim would hold that there would be a violation of Bayer Rabbi Matzeh l'mafreya, because they all adopt, seemingly, the objective approach. But once you did bedika, somehow bedika magically is able to neutralize the l'mafreya violation of Bayer Rabbi Matzeh, and we're going to have to answer the question of why. But before we go on, I know I'm going to get pushed back from the Yaakovs out there, right? It's important to note that while it's clear from the Ran that the bedika itself neutralizes Bayer Rabbi Matzeh, the fact that Rabbeinu David and the Maram Chalava have this lashon of lo nitna Torah l'malachi asharis, it's possible that Rabbeinu David and the Maram Chalava specifically are saying something slightly different. And what could they be saying? Yes. Now, why don't you violate l'mafreya? Because it's ones.
I wanted to actually give a chash to the Maram. I think Rabbeinu David is on the non-onis side.
There is a show about okay. So before you get, you're like the extra credit, before you get there, I just want to explain for everyone, right? It's so, again, so while one interpretation of Rabbeinu David and Maram Chalava is that they align with the Ran, and they're saying this very esoteric idea that the performance of a proper bedika itself neutralizes Bayer Rabbi Matzeh l'mafreya, which is important to note that it's possible to alternatively explain Rabbeinu David and Maram Chalava, the fact that they utilize the Lashon, right? They invoke the Lashon of Lo Nitna Torah L'malachi Asharis, like, you know, what do you want from the guy, right? The guy is only human. It could be that that Lashon of Lo Nitna Torah L'malachi Asharis is saying an alternative idea, which is to say that there's a Ptur Ones, which would mean to say that the reason why, again, but in contrast, a very subtle distinction here, but they're still different than the Michtam and Reb Kiva Eger. Remember, if you notice, when we were saying over the Michtam Reb Kiva Eger, we were very careful to say that according to the Michtam Reb Kiva Eger, you do violate l'mafreya. It's just the Ptur Ones. It's like a Ptur Onesh. But it's very clear from Rabbeinu David Maram Chalava that you don't violate l'mafreya at all. So again, if they're taking the Ptur Ones approach, there's a subtle distinction between the way the Michtam and Reb Kiva Eger, you know, understand the impact of Ptur Ones on the one hand, and the way that Rabbeinu David and the Maram Chalava understand the Ptur Ones. Because in general, there's like a general chakira about like a p'tur onis, just like you have a parallel by a p'tur of mezasek. Is the question is the p'tur onis, is that as if you didn't do it, the commandalo of it? Or is it, no, it's as if you did it, but it's like a p'tur onis. So along those lines, these two groups of Rishonim would be saying that. The Michtam and the Rekibe Eger, who say that you do violate Lamafreya, but there's a p'tur onis, seem like they understand onis in terms of the p'tur onis type idea, that yeah, you violated. Lamaisa, there was chametz in your shes, objectively you violated the Isser, but you don't have to be choshish for that, you don't have to care about that, because it's like a p'tur onis, right? You're patur for that. But Rabbeinu David very clearly says that and the same thing with Maron Chalava, that if you interpret them as saying that there's a p'tur onis, their, you know, application of the p'tur onis is that the p'tur onis dictates, it's like completely mafkia the Bar Rabbi Matzei, you know, moving backwards. So again, if you want to understand Rabbeinu David and the Maron Chalava within as being a p'tur onis, while they're parallel to the earlier Michtam and Rekubi Eger, there's still a big difference. Because earlier, the Michtam and Rekubi Eger were saying that you do violate Lemafreya, but it's okay because it's Onis. Here, they'd be saying, because of Onis, there's no Lemafreya violation at all. Okay, yeah.
Is it practical difference, or is
it just... No, just in terms of, it would be a lumdus in terms of, there could be some Nafkamina, but can't think of it off the top of my head. But for sure, there's a difference between, you know, a violation. Again, there's a difference in terms of onus.
Is it not everyone agrees to the chakira that there's a difference between onus and snapping over?
No, it's a chakira within onus. How does onus work? Does onus work just as a p'tur onish? Or is it as if command law of it?
So it's still valid that they do agree, but we just can't say for sure.
No, I'm saying from their lashonos, it appears that they, it seems like they formulate the p'tur onus in this context differently. The Rekubi Eger and the Michtam formulate, sounds like they're saying, oh, what about the Lemafreya violation? They say, oh, don't worry, it's onis. Implication being, yeah, you violated it, but it was bonus. Well, it's very clear from Rabbeinu David and Maron Chalava that they're saying there's no violation at all, yeah. Lemafreya. So that's a subtle distinction. But
if you hold onis means Maron Chalava, then they are identical, no?
I know, I'm just saying the way that, I'm just saying just the presentation of the Michtam and Rekubi Eger seems to imply that they're formulating onis as just like a p'tur onis. That's what I'm saying. It seems to emerge from their lashon that, you know, they're saying, yes, there was a violation, but it's just a p'tur onis. You look back to the lashon, that was the impression that's the impression I got. I feel like I have other hands. Okay. Do we have time to see? Either or not, really quickly. So again, within this alternative understanding that the p'tur of the Maram Chalava and Rabbeinu David is this p'tur onis, which basically is mafkia, the violation of Bar Rabbi Matzei, a related mekor to that idea is the Rambam in Perek Gimel Halacha Ches. It's a famous Rambam. The Rambam is talking about a case where you don't do bittel, right, and you end up finding the piece of chametz on Pesach, right, on Yontif itself. So what does Rambam say? It's based on the Gemara and Daf Vav. What happens if you find a piece of chametz on Pesach and you didn't do bitzel? What do you do? You cover it, the kli. Why can't you touch it? Muksa. Right? And Issur D'Rabbanan of Muksa says you can't touch it. So yeah. Kesem Mishnah says, whoa, wait a second. According to Rambam, you didn't do bitzel. So you're going to violate the Issuri D'Oraisa of Bayi Rabbi Matzei, but because of an Issur D'Rabbanan of Muksa, we're going to say not to burn it? Basically, the question is, wait a second, why doesn't the Isurei D'Oraisa of preventing the violation of Bayi Rabbi Matzei be doche the Issur D'Rabbanan of Muksa and allow you and compel you, mechayev you, to burn it? Does anyone see the Kesem Mishnah's answer? That's one of them. Remember the onis one? Exactly. So the Kesem Mishnah is a very important lashon. He says as follows. This is Kesem Mishnah on the spot there in Perek Gimel Laches. Very important lashon. Anyone have it? He says Zilo Amra Torah Bal Yira Bal Yematze Ela Kishibrushuso Hay Levaro the Eino Mevaro. You only violate Bayra Bayematze when you had the ability, the capacity to burn it, and yet you didn't. I mean, you're culpable, you're responsible, you had the opportunity to obviate, to circumvent the violation of these Isurim, but yet you didn't. But in a case like here, where the Chachamim say, your hands are tied, right, it's muksa, you can't touch it, you're an onis. Lo, you don't violate Bar Yavai Matzei, v'zeh onas, in this case at hand is onas. So cast the mission again, along the lines of the Maram Chalav and Rabbeinu David, formulate, again, Al Atzad, that they're talking about ones, and then they formulate that the ones is really mafkia, the violation of Bar Yavai Matzei. That's very clear from the cast of mission also. He says, because of the factor of ones, that is mafkia, the violation of Bar Yavai Matzei. So that would be a parallel makur to this idea that in Makom ones, you don't have a violation of Bar Yavai Matzei at all. Yeah?
Is possible to say the exact opposite, where that Bar Yavai is not a constant issue, it's just one Pesach hits, and you are not in the Bar Yavai Matzei, you're over once, and then from the time Pesach was on, it's not an issue every second, it's just you're over, and then that's it.
You're saying that's the Pesach in the Kesem Mishnah?
No, Pesach in the Rambam.
So say it again, but
it's
what?
It's an alternative Pesach in the Rambam.
Okay, sorry, so what are you saying?
Is you're not you're over saying... in Issa Dereis because you're already over. It's not a constant issue.
Oh.
Oh.
What?
That even though they're not the Mashal Chometz and Mashal Levar, it's only because it's neither going to stay for Shvi'is, but it's constantly being over. So what's the idea?
Yeah, from what I've seen, most people think that Bar Yavai Matzei is a constant violation, and I've never seen anyone who said, "Oh, you know, you already violated, so you don't have to do anything about it." I've never seen that. I mean, in the Gemaras, whenever you have the ability, whenever you find chametz on Pesach, they don't say, oh, no, it's done.
No, because there's still a mitzvah of tashbisu.
Uh-huh, you're saying, okay, interesting. Okay, interesting. I'd have to look into that. I mean, it's a chiddush. You have to, like, you know, garner some evidence for that. That'd be an interesting possibility, yeah. Yeah, hello?
Could it be that the Rambam holds like Tosfos doesn't, that once you do beer, then your Isser Valyur Valyur Matzah isn't, you're not over the Isser anymore?
But here you're not doing beer.
But since you could do it after...
You're saying Masha Chometz Abin Aslavar.
Yeah.
You're saying, because, that's another way of saying it, yeah.
So since you could do beer after Yom Tov, then you may the whole time on Yom Tov you won't over this.
Because the whole time you're planning on doing it after, yeah. That's an alternative. Yeah. Again, I was bringing the Rambam just to get to the Kesef Mishnah. Again, there are different Mahalchim in that Rambam. There's a Sheva Al Taisa. There are a lot of different answers to the Rambam. But I was just bringing the Kesef Mishnah because the Kesef Mishnah says this idea. He invokes the Petur Ones to say that therefore there's no violation, like at all. It's like that the Petur Ones is totally mafkia the Isser. Yeah. No.
But where do
quickly?
We find this idea that muksa would be the equivalent to Ones?
No, it's saying once the Chachamim tie your hands up, figuratively, right?
Maybe it wouldn't be tied your hands. Maybe like it would override it. Like, why is that considered?
Well, that's the question.
But I'm saying, why is that considered an oni situation? But it says you're able to burn it. Maybe that actually just overrides.
No, but one minute, because it's saying that the way we're magdir, because the way it works is that the way we're magdir, you know, your culpability in a certain circumstance is based on all the factors. And if the Chachamim are basically saying Lamaisa, you shouldn't be touching it, so then that dictates that when you're standing still and just kofa lava sakli, you're listening to the Chachamim. That's not onis.
I'm saying it's not. I'm saying that muksa is
sorry,
not.
That it is an onis.
So I'm just wondering what the basis for that would be like.
Okay. I don't want to get too far afield because it's just which one part I want to make sure we finish. I hear what you're saying. You're also, I think, in other words, you're basically saying it's a chiddush that a din d'rabbanan is taken into account for the d'oraisa geder of onis. That's another way of formulating. Again, that gets into a general discussion, which is a lot of times certain dinim. Whenever you find a din d'rabbanan impacting a din d'oraisa, it means there's a larger discussion. It basically means that the geder of the din d'oraisa is very much like pragmatic and like very much practically driven. And we're basically, the Kesef Mishnah is basically saying that's something like onis. Onis saying, lemaisa. At the end of the day, was the reason why you were standing still on your own accord and your own laziness, your own, you know, irreverence for the Isser of Chametz, or were you doing it because, you know, the Chachamim were telling you to do that? And once, you know, once the getter of onis is like, practically speaking, lamaisa, you know, what is the reason? What's the intention behind your you know, sheva taisa? So therefore, the derabanan can be taken into account. Again, a larger discussion, but not for now. But getting back to it, so again, now getting back to the Ran, right? So the Ran, and possibly Rabbeinu David, and possibly Maram Chalava, right? The Ran clearly says that the reason why there's no Bayrabai Matzei L'Mafreya is because of Ribdika. Again, and according to, right, the other way of understanding Rabbeinu David and Maram Chalava, other than the Petur Onis, is to say, and I still want to hear your ha'ara, Yaakov. Right, the other way to say is that when Rabbeinu David and Maram Chalava, you know, formulate Lo Nitna Torah L'Malachi Ashares, they don't mean that to invoke the Petur Onis. They just say that to say that, oh, look, you were Yotze, you know, you're Chovas Bedika. Parallel to the way the Ran says, oh, you're Yotze, you're Chovas Bedika, because, yeah, Samcha Torah Al HaZakos. As long as you follow the, you know, the Geder of Bedika set forth by the Chachamim, right, we rely on that. Samcha Torah Al HaZakos, where we rely on the Chazaka, we assume you found everything. So therefore, according to this interpretation, the Rabbeinu David and Maram Chalava are saying, Lo Nitna Torah L'Malachi Ashares, also to say that, yeah, because you did a proper Bedika, and when we did a proper Bedika, we assume you found everything, because we Lo Nitna Torah L'Malachi Ashares, you know, if you did what the Chum told you to do, you know, that suffices. So again, according to this approach that Rabbeinu David and Maram Chalava are saying, like the Ran, that really you should be over L'Malachi, but because you did Bedika, Bedika is Matir. So now we have to get back to the original question, which is, why? How does the performance of Bedika neutralize the violation of Bayera by Imanse? That's the big question. So,
according to the one we just said.
According to the Ran, for sure, this is the Pshat. Right, it's clear for the Ran that Bedika neutralizes Bayera by Imanse. And again, according to Rabbeinu David and Maram Chalava, if you don't take the onus approach to them. So again, according to the Ran, he's clearly saying this idea that Bedika is Matir by Rabbi Matze. And for the Maram Chalava and Rabbeinu David, it's unclear whether they're saying this idea that Bedika is Matir by Rabbi Matze, or whether they're saying Petur Onis. That's what we said before. So again, so what's the pshat in why Bedika would be Matir by Rabbi Matze? So I'd like to suggest something which I later saw in the Alvinez. I was very excited about it. And that's the following idea. And it's going to get back to a yisod that we mentioned in the opening sugya. And that is getting back to the concept of Eina Rotze Bikium. And it is as follows. That the reason why the performance of Bedika neutralizes by Rabbi Matze, Shmuel, actually, at the beginning of the sugya, had a very powerful formulation. He said, why don't you just say that Bedika is a form of Bittul? Remember you said that? So that's exactly what we're going to suggest right now. And that is that when you perform Bittul, when you perform a Bedika, you're searching your house to rid your house and your reshus of chametz. So by doing that, by expending all that effort to go through the motions of finding and ridding your house of chametz, so by going through those pains, so you're showing, you're expressing that your perspective is eino rotze b'kiyuma. That you are clearly demonstrating that you don't want chametz in your reshus. So by going through the motions of Bedika, in essence, you're demonstrating, you're establishing that your perspective towards chametz is eino rotze b'kiyumo. I don't want chametz in my rishus, and that's why I'm trying my darn hardest to get all the chametz in my rishus out of here. So possibly says all these rishonim, once you go through the motions of a Bedika, the Bedika in essence is like a form of bittul, in the sense that you demonstrate that Eino Rotze Bikiyumo. And again, along the lines of the Ramban of Eino Rotze Bikiyumo of Bittul, the idea is going to be that since objectively, right, you don't own chametz on Pesach, the only reason why you were over by Matzeh is because the Torah places it in your Rishus. So the Torah, as the Ramban spells out, and the Ran also in a different way, spell out that the only time the Torah is going to place it in your Rishus on Pesach to violate is if you wrote to Bikiyomo, if you want it. But once you perform your Bedika and you demonstrate that Eino Rotze Bikiyomo, that you don't want it, so then that is a form of Bittul which is going to neutralize Bayira Bayimatze. And that's why the performance of Bedika even though these Rishonim presumably, generally say you're going to violate by Matzah is objective, and therefore you're going to violate generally by Matzah Elam Afreya. But once you perform a bedika, and the Torah dictates through chazakos, based on the Ron's Lashon, or Lonin Torah Lamach Yashore, according to Ram Chalav and Rabbi David's Lashon, that once you do a bedika, and the assumption of that bedika is you found everything, so then you did an action which rid your house of chametz. So you demonstrated in a rotz b'kiyumo, and therefore, in essence, your bedika functioned as a bittel, and therefore that's going to neutralize by Rabbi Matzah. And when I found this, if you see the Avnei Nezer, Avnei Nezer says this explicitly as pshat in the Ron. So you see the Avnei Nezer again, the second page of the Maror Makomos. You see the second to last line is the, right, he's basically, yeah, let's start from the beginning. Elad, would you mind reading? He's going to ask this question that we've been developing, like, what does the Ron mean that Bedika is Matir by Rabbi Matzah? Why in the world? At the end of the day, objectively, it didn't work. So go for it. Right, so that's the Ron's idea. Don't worry about Lumafreya because you did a bedika and Chazaka dictates that your bedika was good. He says, what does that mean? Right, so what's the question?
That you find a case and you've almost had a wife remarries based on the testimony of two witnesses that say that they saw her husband died, and then she later found out that her husband is actually not dead, then she's still chai v'chatas for getting married again.
So the idea is, okay, great, you relied on chazakah. But we see in other cases, you relied on edim. But yet, if in Metzias, the edim are wrong, so you still have to, there's still, ramifications. You still have a chai v'chatas. You violated eishes ish, albeit b'shogeg, or b'ones. I'll say Peshogeg, but you violate it, so ask Avnei Nezer, same thing with the Ron. At the time, yeah, your Bedika, you thought you didn't violate. But in the end of the day, in Metzias, there was Chametz there. So what's the idea? How can the Ron say you don't violate at all? Oh, so here's the Yisod. Right, so as long as you did the Bedika, and you followed the Chamim's, rules of bedika, you did a bedika in Mekomosh, regilin shabot chametz. So therefore, based on the chazakas, you did what you could. Alright, so why is the Torah not going to put in your rishos?
Because there's no proof that you want the chametz there.
Right? Because, just to spell it out, right? Because the fact that you did a bedika, the fact that you tried your hardest, you went through all that effort to do a bedika, that demonstrates that you don't want chametz in your rishus. And therefore, basically, so that the Torah is only going to place it in your rishus when you wrote tzibikiyuma, when you want the chametz in your rishus, by doing a bedika, in essence, it's like a bittel, to then prevent the Torah from putting it in your rishus.
If the bedika is a bittel, then why do you do bittel afterwards? It's one thing if bedika is different from bittel, but if it's exactly the same thing,
yeah,
then what's the point of doing bittel? That's doing bittel twice.
Yeah, excellent point. You can even ask a little sharper, which is, you basically, that's the Gemara's question, right? Excellent, right? Avod Eitzar Shivato, and then the Gemara says, oh, you do bittel because of Shema Yimsa Gluski Yafa Vidai Tilade.
Right, but if the
bedika
is.
Yeah, so you're going to have to somehow say, it needs a little work, that although the Shema Yimsa Gluska Yafa Vidaita Lavei, although that's going to undermine the Bedika version of Bittel, it's not going to undermine the actual Bittel. And that's you have to explain the Chiluk. But the idea is going to be that the implicit Bittel Al Yadei Bedika is more easily undermined than an express Bittel, Bipet. That's going to be the structure. We have to fill that in a little bit, but that's what you're going to have to say. That, and in short, your question is, you're basically, if bedika is a form of bittel, so you're just doing a bittel twice. So the answer is, although bedika is a form of bittel, because it's just implicit bittel, it's less powerful. And it needs a little work, but that's the basic structure. Yes, my friend.
Why now do you need the lashon of a chazaka?
Oh, because the reason why a bedika is a real bona fide expression of Eina Rotze B'Kiyumo is only because what you did was assumed to get everything based on Chazakos. Meaning, if what I did didn't necessarily catch everything in my Rishos, so then how can I say that my action of Bedika proves that I don't want Chametz in Rishos? You didn't do something which ensures that there's no Chametz in your Rishos. But once the Chazaka dictates that, yeah, your Bedika ensured through Chazakas that there's no Chametz left in your Rishos, so I can now step back and say, I did an action of Bedika which proves that I don't want any Chametz in my Rishos.
Chazaka sounds like it's trying to represent what the reality is now.
Yeah.
But we shouldn't care about the reality, we should care about what you did.
No, it's a projected reality which therefore reflects my mindset. Because at that point, through the Chazaka, the Halacha assumes I caught everything, so that means I also assume I caught everything. It means that my actions were an expression of Einer Rotze B'Kiyumo.
Wouldn't the lashon of just Shabbat Kivikocho be enough to represent
the actions of what?
The lashon of Shabbat Kivikocho be enough to express that. Shabbat Kivikocho.
It's okay.
Shabbatak Kivikocho.
Oh, Shabbatak Kivikocho.
It's just a matter of how I did Bedika, not what is now the reality, no?
No, but I think it's much stronger. Meaning, if we didn't have the Chazaka, you still say, at the end of the day, how, if you really cared about not having any chametz in your rishus,
I did everything,
and the only way of doing that is through bittul, so then you need to do bittul. It's only if the dika through chazakos can ensure that you caught everything, can you truly say as a result of my bidika that I really don't want any rosh b'kima. That's the idea. Yeah.
Rabbi Nezer seems to be saying kein rai kal shrotz b'kima, but Rabbi seems to be saying the opposite, or he seems to be saying...
No, that's just the subtle difference of whether you need a positive Rotze B'Kiyumo or the lack of Eina Rotze B'Kiyumo. It's the same general idea. I mean, that was the nuance of the Ramban and Rashi. So, I mean, all the Nezer is saying that, ironically, he's taking the rejected Rashi's version. I'm just... Remember, he's saying... The Adi Nezer says, oh, the Koveya is that you only violate when you have a positive Rotze B'Kiyumo. The reason why I was saying it like I was saying is because Ramban rejects that tzad and says you don't need a positive Rotze B'Kiyumo, right? As long as you don't have an inner Rotze B'Kiyumo. You know what I'm saying? Yaakov, and then we'll just, yeah.
So the two under Rashi hold that you need to do Bittul and Bittul and Bittul, right? So are they basically holding that Bittul has to be Bamira and Bittul can't be a Maisa, it has to be Bamira?
One more time?
The Torah and the Rashi disagree with the Rabbi and David. Bedika works the Raisa. Are they saying?
I mean, they said the Bedika works Midrabanan.
You are only Midrabanan, and you'd be over them after.
Yeah.
Would they also? Are they? Is like they from Ahavah? Is what they're saying that Bittul has to be done by Amira?
Is there what's the connection between those two things?
Meaning that Bedika doesn't work. Bedika only works Midrabanan. We're saying now because it's a form of Bittul that because your actions show.
Oh, that's what you're saying. That's what you're saying. I think you can be you can't. I hear what you're saying. Sharp. The only problem with that is it's clear that Bittul belief works. So you have to be mechalik between. There are three levels. There's like an explicit Bittul, like bedibur. The opposite extreme is like a Bittul b'maisa, where it's like it's implicit in the actions you're taking. And then there's, I think, even in the middle, which is a Bittul belief, where I am like formulating in my mind that I don't want chametz in my rishus, that's still even more powerful than it being implicit for my actions. You know what I'm saying? So I think there are gradations here. There's like a explication bedibur, you spell out, but then there's like a machshava bittul, but you're still saying I hereby don't want it in my rishus. You're like you're formulating the thoughts in your mind at least. And then there's a third level, which is the weakest, and that's, you know, what some people are rejecting, which basically says no, as long as you do an action, which is mashma. That, you know, Eina Rotze B'Kiyumo, that suffices. And that's the Eretz Chish. And just before we conclude, a parallel to this idea that, when you have a certain Maisa, which is like, it has the implication of Eina Rotze B'Kiyumo, that has like the effect of Bittul. Like another Makor for the, again, the big Chiddush here, which I was happy to find in the Adi Nezer and also in the Maaseh Binyamin, we'll see right now, is the core of this Chiddush is that, right? That a bedika can function as a bittul, even though you don't say that you're being mevatel, but it's through your actions prove that you don't want chametz in your rishus. So a raya to that yisod, that if your actions prove that you don't want chametz in your rishus, that has like that has a chalos, that has an impact, is a fascinating tshuva of the Maaseh Binyamin, which I actually quoted in a Magen Avraham, which I have over here. Anyone get to it? Yosef, did you guys get to it? Do you remember what's the shaila at hand? Catching you on the spot. It's a little complicated. It's a mechira. Through what? Excellent. Thank you, Yosef. Right. So it's a fascinating shaila. All right. So generally, if anyone's familiar with the way we do mechiras chametz nowadays, they do like a million kinyanim. The reason why they do a million kinyanim is why? We're not sure which one works for Akum. So it's a big machlokas in Rishon and Mefarshim. What type, and we know for Jews, you know, all these kinyanim, Kesef is kinyanim, Meshicha, Hagba, Agav, all these different kinyanim. It's a machlokas, which of these kinyanim work for Goyim? So because of that, really, when you do a Mechiras Chametz, you're supposed to do like a Tanya. So the Shaila, which was presented to the Masses Binyamin, which is, let's say a person only did a kinyan Kesef. And but as machlokas Rishon about whether kinyan Kesef works for Akum. So the question is, so Al Tzad, kinyan Kesef doesn't work for Akum. Does that mean that this person who did a bad mechira, you know, violated by Rabbi Motze? Because technically, if the mechira isn't good, he owned chametz on Pesach. So if you look at the Masses Binyamin, he says the beautiful idea, which is so excited to hear it. I'll read it inside in just a moment. He basically says that don't worry that technically it didn't work. Because the person went through the motion of a mechira, that reflects that person doesn't want to have chametz in his rishus, because otherwise, why would he attempt to sell it? So says the Masses Binyamin, even if the sale is invalid, parallel to here, even if the bedika technically didn't do its job, it didn't actually get all the chametz, says the Masses Binyamin, as long as you attempted a mechira, that attempted mechira is an expression of ina rotza bikiyuma, and therefore it functions as a bittul to prevent bari bai matze. So when I saw that, I was so excited because I thought that was this before I found out the Nazir. So I'm like, oh, that's a perfect parallel to this idea in the Ran and possibly Rabbi David and Maram Chalava. This idea that if you do a ma'isa, which is expresses that you don't want chametz in your rishus, even if that ma'isa didn't work, in Masses Binyamin's case, mechira was invalid because it was Kinyan Kesef might not work for Gaim, or in the Rishonim's case, Bedika didn't work effectively because there was still a Chametz left over, but still the fact that you attempted to do the Bedika, or you attempted to do the Mechira, that's an expression of Einu Rotz Bikumo, and therefore that's going to neutralize Bayer Bay Matzah. So in the last second we have, if you can just see the last two lines of the Masses Binyamin, starting with the period, it says Bahai Kevan. Svi, would you just take it away? Right. So since this person so attempted to sell the chametz before Shas Esser, right? Gali b'daite that expresses his das lo nichale lebehevile zchusa begave. That demonstrates his das that he doesn't want to have his chus in the chametz. That's why he's attempting to sell it. Hilkach b'kinyan kol to therefore with any kinyan. Nothing Rishus, so it's going to leave his Rishus, Rishus Anachri. Even if that Kinyan technically doesn't work, it's still going to be effective. So again, that's to close the Yisod is, that we just concluded with, is that perhaps that's the Pshat in these Rishonim, the Ran, for sure, possibly Rabbi Nodav and possibly Maram Chalava, to say that this wild idea that the performance of Bedika neutralized by Rabbi Matzah, and we asked, Nechi Tesi, and the end of the day, it didn't work. So why did the act of Bedika have an effect by Rabbi Matzah? So we're suggesting, because the going through the motions of Bedika, which you thought at the time rid your house of chametz, that's a concrete expression, demonstration of your das not to want chametz in your rishus, and therefore it prevents the Torah from placing in rishus, thereby neutralizing by Rabbi Matzah. We'll stop here again. Tomorrow night we'll start with Bittel.